Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Now, if you grew up in America before the Berlin Wall came down, there was one common enemy, the dreaded Soviet Union. And aside from all the history lessons at school, the only sense American kids had of the USSR and its people were from pop culture, like Rocky IV.
I must break you.
Or Saturday morning cartoon characters like Boris and Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Boris, baby, where did we fail?
And I always try so hard to do the wrong thing.
And professional wrestlers like the infamous WWF tag team Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Sheik. Communist villains were literally everywhere, but few of us really understood what it was like to live on the other side of the Iron Curtain. So today, in honor of Independence Day, we remember what it was like to grow up during the Cold War, with two tales of teenagers that experienced both sides of this epic clash of ideologies. One, a teenager vacations in the Soviet bloc, and the other, up first, a teenager who escapes it.
Growing up in the Ukraine, we moved around in a lot of tiny, tiny apartments where usually we would live with other families. And we would have like our own bedroom that my whole family would have. We were Jewish. And so being Jewish isn't cool in the USSR. People didn't take to it kindly.
For Alex Dobrenko, fitting into his new country wasn't much easier.
Kids at school made fun of me for being different. I would wear matching sweatshirts and sweatpants every day, and my lunches were weird, like a Ziploc bag full of those mini sausages.
The desire to assimilate grew by the day.
I just wanted to be American so badly because everything about me wasn't. I thought being Russian was very uncool. I lasered in on what was the coolest thing happening in America for me.
Here's Alex, recorded at King King in Hollywood.
Hello, my name is Alex. Well, actually it's Sasha, but an immigration agent at the US border thought that sounded like a girl's name. See, after moving to Boston from Ukraine in the first grade, my parents' dream was to give me what they never had, a real life in a non-communist country. They dreamed of me eventually becoming a doctor or a lawyer and going to an Ivy League school, like ideally Harvard. And yet, despite their best efforts and a little help from MTV, there was really only one piece of American culture I immersed myself in, and only one thing that I truly wanted to be: a badass gangsta rapper. See, nobody thought I understood what being a badass gangsta rapper was all about. That is, until the fateful day Miss Lane assigned our fifth grade class a research paper on anything we were passionate about. As other kids probably chose to write about the Red Sox, their new puppy, or a video game, I chose to write a 22-page report about rap. Tonight, I'm going to read excerpts from that report, as well as some of the many comments written in by my fifth grade teacher, Miss Lane. Rap by Alex Dobrenko. I added, may not be used in any other form without a signature from Alex Dobrenko saying it's okay. Miss Lane wrote, oh, it's a disclaimer. How fun. The paper was 22 pages long, and the table of contents alone was 2 pages. Some headings were Coolio, Puff Daddy, Who Killed Tupac? crimes, other subjects to rap about, family rappers, perspectives on deaths. Is rap too fancy? Prison. What kind of music could you see children listening to on the radio, on CDs, and on tapes with a great rhythm and beat? This great, cool, new, and fat kind of music was rap. Miss Lane wrote, "You might need to define fat, as the term might not be familiar to your readers." That's fat, Miss Lane. In this report, you will find information about the following. Cons of rap, pros of rap, the East versus West controversy, and Tupac Shakur. After rap was here for a long time, a new kind of rap started, which was called gangster rap, or the more popular name, gangsta rap. Miss Lane wrote, "Define the term, please."
I think hip-hop culture is just something I naturally gravitated to really, really hard. And I was like a white kid in the suburbs. There was nothing thug or like street about me. But I think on some level I related to like the come up, rising up above your situation, because that's kind of what we were doing. And I think those guys also kind of represent the individualism of Western culture. They're like strong people who make something out of nothing, as opposed to the communism idea of like we all together succeed.
Some rap has great moving messages that makes people think about their own lives. You take the messages the rappers say and you think it like the rappers are saying it to you. What? One of the messages I keep in my head that really moves me is in a song by Tupac called Changes. We gotta fight back. That's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. It means this guy wanted to fight back, and when he did, he got shot to death. Miss Lane wrote, "Interesting idea. Do you agree or disagree with it?" Time Warner wants to check lyrics by Death Row Records before they come out for profound words and phrases. Miss Lane wrote, "Profound means deep thinking. Profane means swear words." Rap holds the longest stay in the number one spot for a single, which was set by Boyz II Men and Whitney Houston for 14 weeks. Both of those are not rappers. A lot of rap music actually has a lot of swears in it that cannot be heard because of the quick lyrics. Okay, rap has people that follow it now. Homeboys and B-boys. They put on baggy jeans, wear a hat backwards, mumble to each other when they walk by, raise their head to say hi instead of really saying it, and have their hands dug deep into their pockets. East versus West. It consists of gangs from towns like Boston and Philadelphia, or Texas and Sacramento. Miss Lane wrote, "Texas is a state, not a city." Senator Joseph I. Lieberman talked about how rappers like Tupac Shakur make killing look cool, but it is just that which took his life. What do real fans say about this? Alex DeBranco says, "I think that Time Warner should just leave rappers alone." I just quoted myself in my own paper. Some of rap isn't bad. Tupac Shakur has a great mind and can rhyme well. Some rappers give messages about the right things to do in life. One of these people is LL Cool J, aka Ladies Love Cool James. He recently did a concert and asked kids things like, "You want to stay in school, right?" They all answered yes. If some fancy, super smart person like Bob Dole tried to tell kids about the problem, most of them would get bored and not listen. Most rappers would more likely want to rap about their kids than their weapons. But that's not the type of music that brings in the dough and fame. Some people are not sure why rappers are getting such a bad rap. Miss Lane wrote, a pun, how fun. Rap has a lot going for it. Alex DeBranco says, I don't care if rap is falling down or getting up, because it'll always be here, whatever happens to it. My total score for the paper, 95.
I crushed it. I mean, it was a 22-page report for fifth grade. Like, I think everybody else's were like 3 pages. I think I just went way, way too far with all of it. But knowing that stuff helped me connect. You know, kids that age, like fifth and sixth grade in the late 90s, that's what you talked about. You talked about rap music. And so if I knew more about all that, then I'd be American.
Whereas Alex DeBranco overcame a cultural divide with his peers, Masha Tivian was dealing with a cultural divide with her own mother.
I was born in St. Petersburg. We came to the United States in 1980. I was 2.5. They say you can never teach perspective with your kids. And it's true. Like, my brother and I didn't truly understand where my mom had come from. And she had to just endure her whole life. You know, from her standpoint, we had such a cushy life.
The stark differences between growing up under communist rule and suburban Minnesota became even more apparent when the family took a vacation back to the homeland.
If my brother or I tried to ask my mom a question that was critical of Russia, she would shush us for fear that somebody would overhear us.
But it turns out you don't need to grow up under the watchful eye of the KGB to be absolutely miserable.
Maybe one of the most Russian things about me is I'm able to find the negative in a situation actually quite naturally. I'm just like naturally gifted at having a shitty time. I was like a, you know, 90-year-old grandma in a 12-year-old's body.
Here's Masha on stage at King King in Hollywood.
So I took a family vacation when I was 15 with my mom, my stepdad, my older brother, Roman, and my younger sister, Karina, who was 2 years old at the time. And at first, I would say I was excited to take this trip to the Netherlands and Switzerland and Ukraine. And then as we got rolling, things just headed downhill pretty fast, and I couldn't wait to get back to Minnesota. Home. Saturday, June 11th, 1994. Well, we're about to land in Italy in a few minutes from our 2-hour flight from Amsterdam. Italy should be fun. Get pumped. Everything is legal here. Marijuana joints, prostitution, and drinking. Age 16 in bars. Too many people smoke here. Yucky. We saw a prostitute in her window. We thought she was a mannequin. Oops. See you later. Sunday, June 12th. Today, we checked into the Coronet Hotel. It's on the 3rd floor of some creepy building. The owner looks like Rasputin and is really weird. The lady is too. We took a taxi over to the hotel. The people cannot drive here. There are not nearly enough traffic lights, and even they don't stop everyone. It's raining. Monday, June 13th. Breakfast and shower. Coliseum with so-called family. Got ice cream. Mom yelled at me again when ordering just to speak English. I tried to speak Italian. Can she ever just leave me alone? There was a very handsome boy in the ice cream store. But he left quickly, and I think he had a girlfriend. They always do. I stayed in the icky hotel with Weirdo Rasputin at the desk while Roman went out drinking. Huh. Italy is nice, but the people are really impatient. Why does everyone whine? So obnoxious. The tone is so different than in the U.S. I fell again today. What's new? Damn slippery shoes. Tuesday, June 14th. I mustn't be with the family for much longer. But solitude is lonely. I got yelled at again when trying to order. Can I ever be just left alone? Saturday, June 18th. Go from Lugano to Zurich. I don't like Zurich as much as Lugano because it's too busy. Too many people. Plus, it's German. Monday, June 20th. We're off to Kiev. Customs is slow and unorganized. I just got frisked in the ladies' walkthrough after having my suitcase and bag searched. I feel violated. I mean, it's like everyone on the plane knows what brand toothpaste you use, what your underwear look like, etc. The tough part, after they take all of your shit out, is getting it all back in and being able to shut it again without it ripping. They searched this one fat guy forever. Poor fat guy. I hate when fat people ask you if they're fat. It's like, duh. Marijuana grows here, all over. You could start a business if you knew what you were doing. But you can't bring any Mary Jane into the USA because the sniffing dogs are trained to smell it. Careful. I read the Bible now. I'm reading Peter 1, 2, 3, etc. Now that I'm older, I see a lot more that I wasn't aware of as a child. People are different. Some will never get along. My family, for example. I can't wait to get out of here. I'm sick of all of us living together. Ma would not let me eat any cookies and kept telling me and everyone how fat my butt was. And I'll be a big fat so soon at this age. Leave me alone. 2 exclamation marks. Tuesday, June 28th. I had a very bad day today. What's new? June 29th. Let me explain why Kiev is one big bitch. The people are rude and nasty beyond belief. People push and shove on the buses like a bunch of animals. Fuck this city. We went to the food shop to buy dried mini bagels and cookies. Well, Karina wanted to see, so I lifted her up so her knees were on the counter so she could see. The lady, I mean bitch, said in Russian, "Get her off! What are you thinking? Do you put her on the table at home? Bitch. Take a chill pill and speak in a normal tone before I slap you." Why are all Russian moms bitches? I am so angry. I should have answered her, "Yes, we do put her on the table at home for your information. Not by her feet, dumb bitch." Anyway, this country has gone totally down. The people with it. Russians lead bitchy lives and act like bitches. Ooh, I'm so glad I didn't have to grow up here. I'm so glad this overseas arrangement is temporary. Can't wait for our family to get back to the U.S. to our nice home with everything. The naughty kids in this neighborhood were throwing glass again. Thought it hit our window, but it didn't. Stupid people make me sick. I'm thinking back to fifth grade, but I'll keep my mouth shut. People are so rude. It seems almost the only friendly service you get is on the airplane. People are lazy here, too. Taxi drivers can sit all day. We asked to get to our hotel, and the guy said 60,000 rubles without even wanting to take us. My mom said, "The heck with him. We've driven cheaper than that. Lazy ass can sit there." I guess he doesn't need money as badly as other people. So, I'd say the trip was winding down and tensions were running high. And my brother Roman was being extra obnoxious. Roman is a complete asshole. He's a bastard doomed to hell. Ugh. Can't stand him and will not talk to him. Bastard, get away. Don't touch me or speak to me. My mom finally came in to see what all the racket was about. About time. Ugh, I can't stand him. I just hope I can get back to the U.S. I won't even begin to list the things I miss. Well, it's been a great ride on Ukrainian air. I killed 3 to 4 mosquitoes in the bathroom. Anyway, we're thankfully at the Amsterdam airport soon. It's the only ticket out of here. I am happy to come home. I need a rest and practical living conditions by my American standards.
That was Masha Tivian, and before that, Alex Dobrenko, sharing their childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. And this concludes our mixtape, Cold War Kids, where we learn that most people think the Cold War ended because of what Ronald Reagan says.
"Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall."
But really, it ended because of what
Alex Dobrenko says.
Unless, of course, you're still convinced.
Russians lead bitchy lives and act like bitches.
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. As many of you know, the Mortified podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. If your company would like to support our podcast, we'd love that. Email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Dave Nielberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. Pierce Priscelli and Ann Jensen-Smith Story produced these for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Additional thanks to Lance Roberts Studios, Sasha Waldron, Will Dwyer, Tamar Avishai, Eric Bass, Emma Speakerman, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.